week and all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 14th Valentine's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's show some love for World Heavyweight Boxing Champion Anthony Joshua, who has officially announced his next bout. AJ will fight for the first time here in the United States, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday, Anthony Joshua spoke directly to his fans on his website, anthonyjoshua.com, and announced his next fight will take place in his undefeated opponent's home city, New York.
June the 1st, I'll be traveling to MSG, abbreviated for Madison Square Gardens, New York City, the Big Apple. I'm there to take a bite out of that, and I'm going to be competing against Jerome Miller for the heavyweight championship of the world. I will be defending my titles in New York.
Joshua himself boasts an undefeated professional record of 22 wins, including 21 knockouts. In June, he'll cross the Atlantic for the first time in his career to defend his IBF, WBA, and WBO world heavyweight titles. And Joshua says he's always ready to rumble, no matter which side of the pond he's on.
From one side of the world to another side of the world, everyone will be able to view the fight as usual. And I'm in shape already. 17, 16 weeks to go. I'm looking forward to it.
Joshua says it's been an honor to fight in some of the best venues around the world, especially at home in the iconic Wembley Stadium in London. But he says the time has come to leave his mark in America.
You know, Wembley is so close to my heart. It's a great spot. It's a great location. I fought in small halls. I fought in arenas. And it's been a humbling and a blessing to fight in the stadiums. But now it's time for a change. The current state of the division was the undisputed championship of the world. Myself and Deontay Wilder are the current active heavyweight championship champions of the world. And we was looking to get that fight on April 13th. But things happen, boxing politics. I'm sure you guys are aware. So we had to branch out and look for other options, and Jerome Miller came up. It's an exciting fight. He's an undefeated heavyweight, and I know I'm always focused and disciplined, and I'm always looking forward, but right now I have to keep my attention and focus on Jerome Miller. I can't afford to slip up. There is no banana skins in this road as we are heading towards the road to undisputed.
For his part, Jerome Miller is quoted as saying, Anthony Joshua is making a huge mistake coming to the U.S. to fight him in his own backyard, and Joshua will leave New York empty-handed. The smack talk has already begun. We'll bring you the results after the final bell in a few short months. And that's all for me. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I love that smack talk in boxing. Smack talk. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. On Valentine's Day, let's show some love for Cameroonian basketball player Pascal Siakam, who fired in a career-high 44 points Wednesday night for the Toronto Raptors. Siakam's big game helped the Raptors soar over my beloved Washington Wizards, as we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby in Toronto, Canada.
Toronto beat Washington 129-120 on a night that was all Pascal Siakam. The New Mexico State product finished with a career-high 44 points just 1 week after posting a career-high 33 in Atlanta. Siakam added 10 rebounds for a double-double.
It just feels great. Like, it just feels natural. It feels amazing. And, you know, it's just the beginning for me. Just continue to work hard and do what I do every day. You know, keep being the same, and I think good things are going to happen.
The Raptors' OG Anunoby set a career-high in points as well. Came off the bench with 22. Jeremy Lin, who signed with Toronto just a couple of hours before the tip-off, had 8 points off the bench. Bradley Beal, the Wizards' top scorer, 28 points and 11 assists. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With that win at home, Pascal Siakam and the Toronto Raptors improved their record to 43 wins and 16 losses, while my struggling Washington Wizards now have 24 victories and 34 defeats. The Raptors are one game behind the first-place Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA's Eastern Conference. On Valentine's Day, let's show some love for Milwaukee forward Giannis Antetokounmpo, who will be one of the featured players in Sunday's annual NBA All-Star Game in Charlotte, North Carolina. Giannis had another excellent all-around game Wednesday night when the Bucks beat the host Indiana Pacers. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee staged a big fourth quarter comeback for a 106-97 win at Indiana. The Pacers went up by 10 early in the fourth, but with 4 minutes to go and the score tied, the Bucks closed out the game with an 11-2 run. Giannis Antetokounmpo turned in a triple-double, 33 points, 19 rebounds, and 5 assists.
I think the team did a great job just keeping the composure. Keep playing hard even though we were down 10, and we were able to cover one another defensively, and that's why we came back to the game, and we find the open man offensively, and we were able to knock down shots.
At 43-14, Milwaukee maintains the league's best record, and the Bucks have 7 straight road victories. Bojan Bogdanovic led Indiana with 20 points. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And here are some fun facts about NBA All-Star Giannis Antetokounmpo, who we heard from in Tom McCabe's report. Giannis's parents are from Nigeria, but Giannis was born in Athens, the Greek capital, where his parents moved in 1991. And I believe Giannis might have inherited a good chunk of his athletic talent. His father, Charles, is a former Nigerian Association football player, while his mother, Veronica, is a former high jumper. Giannis will captain one of the teams in Sunday's NBA All-Star Game, while Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James will captain the other. Let's take a quick look now at the starters in the NBA All-Star Game. Team Giannis will include Giannis, of course, as well as Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, Stephen Curry of the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, Paul George of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and local favorite Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. The game, as I mentioned, will be played in Charlotte, North Carolina. Team LeBron has LeBron, of course, as well as Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors, Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors, Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics, and James Harden of the Houston Rockets. This will be the 68th edition of the NBA All-Star Game, and this will be only the second time that the format will not be Eastern Conference All-Stars versus Western Conference All-Stars. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. On Valentine's Day, let's show some love for the under-20 boys football teams from Mali and Senegal, who will play for the continental title on Sunday in Niger. In semifinal results Wednesday, Mali edged Nigeria 4-3 on penalty kicks, while Senegal beat South Africa 1-0. All 4 semifinalists at the Africa Under-20 Cup of Nations, Mali, Senegal, Nigeria, and South Africa, qualified for this year's FIFA Under-20 World Cup, which kicks off May 23rd in Poland. Joining us now with more African football news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny, and welcome to the latest football headlines from the African continent. The Elite CAF Champions League turned in a mixed result on match day 4 on Tuesday as all 16 teams battled for places in the quarterfinals. In Group A, Mamelodi Sundowns were held to a 0-0 stalemate by ASEC Mimosas, while in faraway Morocco, Wydad Casablanca were also held to a 0-0 draw by Lobi Stars of Nigeria at the Prince Mohole Abdullah Stadium in Morocco. I asked sports journalist Deji Ogunyebo and Gerald Udo what they make of these results and which team may likely qualify from the four groups for the quarterfinal stages.
Most importantly for Wydad Casablanca, they had the opportunity to move clear at the top of the table ahead of Mamelodi Sundowns, but due to their lackluster draw against Nigerians Lobi Stars, they couldn't do that. But they still sit top of the table. For Sundowns on their own part, they would have to make do getting 3 points against Lobi Stars in their next game if they are to stand any chance of still making it to the quarter. It's evenly poised for Lobi Stars. They need to win their next two matches out of three. There's no negotiation about it. So I think for me, I still feel the Moroccans, talking about Wydad Casablanca as well as ASEC Mimosa, might still have good chances of making it into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, if we have to go by pedigree, of course, Wydad Casablanca and Mamelodi Sundowns should be able to qualify. They are former champions. They won the tournament in 2016, 2017, of course. So they should be able to make it through, talking about those two teams. They are favored to qualify. The other two teams, ASEC, who are also a former champion, and Lobi Stars of Nigeria, will find it difficult to be able to make it through. So I foresee the North Africans and the South Africans, the organization, their doggedness, and their ability to put things right, making it through that group to the next round of the competition.
Group B, you have Esperance of Tunisia, you have Koroya and Orlando Pirates. They appear to have a very good chance of qualifying for the quarterfinals.
Yeah, for the defending champions, yes, Tunis, they were really impressive against Orlando Pirates. At home, dominant as usual, the 12th man, the crowd was behind them all through, and were able to get the maximum point over Orlando Pirates, who created some couple of chances, but were just a bit profligate in front of goal too. So you just hope that they try and concentrate on it in their next match.
That is a very tight group, actually. But when you consider the fact that North Africans are always having an edge when it comes to competition like this, whenever they are on top of you, we find it difficult to really pull them down. So we should say safely that ES Tunis will definitely make it from that group. Then the trio of Horoya, Orlando Pirates, and FC Platinum Stars will fight for the second slot in that particular group. So I see ES Tunis making it through that particular group to the knockout stage of the competition.
What about Group C? CS Constantine, TP Mazembe, Club Africana, and Ismaili. Of course, Ismaili still have their own problems after being banned from the competition before their reinstatement. And of course, Club Africana, in the game on Tuesday, tried to redeem themselves against TP Mazembe after that scandalous 8-0 loss.
Yeah, of course, TP Mazembe happens to be the only team that is not a Maghreb team in that group. But I see TP Mazembe qualifying. They're one of the most organized sub-Saharan team in the African continent. So they are well organized. They have the stars, they have the players, they have the money. So they should be able to make it among the North African teams. Then, of course, any of either Club African or CS Constantine should be able to qualify with TP and Mazembe in that group. I see TP qualifying, even if they are not topping the group right now. They have what it takes. You could see their last match against the Club African side, which they won 8-0. Then they now drew the return leg. So they should be able to make it one of the North African teams from that group to the quarterfinal.
For the Tunisians, Club African comes with a lot of experience too over the years when it comes to playing in CAF's top tier competition, and I feel that they'll be able to get one over their opponents, talking about leaders TP Mazembe. So I feel for me it's between the trend of CS Constantine, TP Mazembe, as well as Club African. For Smalley, after match day two where they had those problems, it's going to be difficult, psychological problem trying to come back. They've got the world with that to do it too, but I mean, mentally, have they got the mental toughness to be able to claw their way back into reckoning to either finish second or first? That and them a berth into the quarterfinals. That's a $1 million question. But I still see TP Mazembe, who have been really outstanding. Recall that trashing they handed to Club African, it goes nothing on match day two. That was really a moral booster too. So by virtue of that, they'll definitely be one of the contenders going into the quarterfinals from Group C.
Group D, Al Ahly, Simba, Jez Saoura, and Vita Club. It appears any one of these four teams can still make it through to the quarterfinal.
You are very correct. It's a very tight group. Definitely none of the team wants to let their guards down, of course. But Al Ahly have everything it takes to be able to make it through. They are the most successful clubs in the African continent.
Simba have been really impressive. They sit second with 6 points too. Amir's Vita for me has been really appalling, but they still got a very decent chance of making it. Just 2 points separate themselves in fourth, as well as Simba who are in second position.
Finally, South African national football team coach Stuart Baxter wants more time to work with his players ahead of the key African Nations Cup qualifier away in Libya, where they must avoid defeat to qualify for the finals. To help with the coach's preparation, the South Africa Premier Soccer League on Wednesday agreed to postpone 3 vital games, which all involve national team players, so that coach Stuart Baxter can call up players outside of the FIFA window for national games. Coach Baxter has promised to vacate his position nation should his team fail to qualify for the 2019 African Cup of Nations when Bafana Bafana play Libya later next month in an encounter that will decide either country's fate.
We may win and everybody goes bananas and we beat them 3-0, but then in my heart of hearts I know that I can't do any more. So then why stay? But the other way around, we don't get the result that we want, but we see that we're on the right path. And I'm convinced that I will say, look, I'll stay if you want. So all things are equal there. But, of course, if we don't qualify, I will put my hat there and say, listen, you want me to go, I'll go.
And that will be all from me, Samson Omale, here in Abuja. It's back to you, Sunny, for more on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Samson. And on Valentine's Day, let's show some love for Samson Omale and that spicy African football package. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will have some cycling news for us.
Reigning Tour de France champion Geraint Thomas is preparing for the new cycling season with a single goal: to successfully defend the yellow jersey.
I think having won the Tour last year, you know, I've got to go back to the Tour, and you know, to go there not in the best shape would be, I don't think I'd enjoy it so much. So yeah, it's all about going back there in the best shape I can, and yeah, trying to get the best result I can.
The Welsh cyclist is part of Team Sky, but Sky will be dropping its sponsorship after the 2019 season. Thomas tells SNTV he hopes his teammates will stick together.
As long as the team can keep going and stick together, the core of us, then that's the main thing for me. And if all that did stop and we couldn't find a sponsor, then obviously it wouldn't be nice, you know, to end like that. But no, we, like I say, I just focus on racing and training, and yeah, I got confidence that we can keep going.
Geraint Thomas rides alongside Chris Froome, winner of the 2013 Tour de France, and again for three consecutive years in 2015, 2016, and 2017. Thomas says they can coexist if they stick to the formula that has allowed each to win.
Yeah, I think we just got to treat it like last year. Both of us get there as good as we can be, and then, you know, just go from there. And then it'll be obvious, really, before we even get there. But, you know, once we're there and we're racing and we're in the mountains, and, you know, we'll know, as long as we don't race against each other and we're always open and honest with each other, then I think it can still work. And, yeah, that's the way we're going to treat it.
Geraint Thomas is proud he is a clean rider after the tumultuous past cycling endured with widespread use of performance-enhancing drugs.
I'm not going to, like, stand up and sing a song and dance about, you know, how I'm, you know, squeaky clean and this and that, but, you know, I do everything the right way, and I just, you know, that's it. I train hard, work hard, and, you know, I have a lot of support around me, and that's what I do. And, yeah, obviously, if people do stuff, then, you know, I can't do anything about that. But I'm sure that that sort of mindset of the peloton has certainly shifted a lot since the Dark Ages.
Those Dark Ages, he feels, actually helped professional cycling arrive to its present-day health.
Well, I certainly think that what's gone on in the past has helped clean up the sport for sure. And I'm confident that it's one of the cleanest sports around. So, yeah, I think that's great, because, you know, there's no way I would have won the Tour, you know, all those years ago. So, yeah, I'm fortunate to be at the age I am riding my bike now. And, yeah, I think that the sport is in a great sort of period. But obviously, when it comes to what people think about us and this and that, again, what can I do about it? You know, whatever I say, they're going to spin that to however they want. So, yeah, like I say, just crack on and go about my business as I always do.
Geraint Thomas and his Team Sky riders set out for several events leading up to this year's Tour de France, which begins its long annual 21-day journey on July 6th. When Sarajevo hosted the 1984 Winter Olympics, it was a moment of pride for all of what was then Yugoslavia. 35 years later, the post-war capital of what is now Bosnia is hoping this week's European Youth Olympics Winter Festival will rekindle that flame. The competition opened in Sarajevo on Sunday and closes later this week in East Sarajevo. The front line in the Bosnian War ran through the city. In a show of cooperation between the two former foes, both mayors said this is a new era of peace and reconciliation. Abdullah Skaka is the mayor of Sarajevo. Nenad Vukovic is mayor of East Sarajevo.
The European Youth Olympics Festival is an opportunity for us all to get together and build a better, more positive future.
I wish to see us all gather around this project in the coming days and for us all to attend the opening ceremony at Kosovo and the closing event in East Sarajevo.
Achieving that cooperation was not easy. Sarajevo belongs to the Bosnia-Croat Federation. East Sarajevo belongs to the Serb Republic, which are two autonomous regions of Bosnia that were carved along ethnic lines during the three-year-long war more than 20 years ago, in which 100,000 died. Today, some, like Games volunteer Azar Basic, say they're ready to move on.
One of the most important things about IOF is that we will get to meet new friends from both Sarajevo and East Sarajevo. We should not divide people like that, but it is what it is. But it's nice when we are together.
Since the 1984 Olympics, the bobsled track on Trebevich Mountain has been covered in graffiti, while towering ski jumps on Igman Mountain have been left to deteriorate. Ice skating manager Jasenka Perovic has fond memories of the 1984 Olympics.
My most beautiful memory to date is during the Winter Olympics when I took part in the closing ceremony, along with other little girls who were part of the ice skating ensemble. It's wonderful that 35 years later we get to host this event, which is a lot like the Olympics, and which will give our city some of that Olympic spirit again.
That spirit was openly echoed by many who danced and posed for pictures with Grudvi, the Olympic mascot, just before the long-awaited event.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. On Valentine's Day, let's show some love for Tottenham and reigning title holder Real Madrid, which posted victories Wednesday in the round of 16 in UEFA Champions League football after being on the back foot throughout the first half at Wembley Stadium. The Spurs of Tottenham got a spark in the second half and beat Borussia Dortmund of Germany 3-0. The South Korean Sun Heung-min netted 2 minutes after the break to make it 4 goals in as many matches. The Spurs then got 2 late goals from the Belgian Jan Vertonghen and the Spaniard Fernando Llorente to take a commanding lead to Germany for the return leg on March 5th. Meanwhile, in the Netherlands, Real Madrid, winner of the past 3 Champions League trophies, overcame a spirited Ajax squad to win the first leg of its round of 16 match 2-1. Substitute Marco Asensio scored the winner in the 87th minute to put Real in a very strong position going into the second leg March 5th in Spain. During Wednesday's show, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten mentioned how video assistant review, or VAR, is being used in these UEFA Champions League matches. Well, host Ajax had a goal disallowed by VAR, much to the dismay of many of the more than 52,000 fans at the Johan Cruyff Arena in Amsterdam. On Valentine's Day, let's show some love to a few of my Facebook friends who checked in at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Eddie Manda, writing from Chililabombwe, Zambia, says he was very touched by Pele's tribute for Gordon Banks, the goalkeeping great for England, who died Tuesday at the age of 81. Eddie says, "Rest in perfect eternal peace, Banks." At the 1970 World Cup, Banks saved a shot from Pele, and many still consider it the greatest save of all time. None other than Prince Nesta checks in. Prince does the European club football highlights on Mondays, and he hopes all our VOA listeners had a happy World Radio Day on Wednesday. Thanks, Prince. And that wraps up the February 14th Valentine's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's show some love to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Let's show more love to VOA engineer Zainab. And finally, I love that you tuned in this evening. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily report when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution, or MAVEN, spacecraft, which has circled the red planet for over 4 years, has provided scientists with valuable information on the structure and composition of its upper atmosphere. The space agency has announced that MAVEN will soon take on additional responsibilities by also serving as a data relay satellite for NASA's Mars 2020 rover, scheduled for launch in July 2020. To prepare the spacecraft for its new duties, MAVEN mission controllers will soon begin to tighten its elliptical orbit by about 1,500 kilometers. MAVEN's principal investigator, Bruce Jacoski from the University of Colorado Boulder, says that this slightly shorter orbit will significantly improve its communications capabilities between Mars and Earth. He says that it will be like using your cell phone. The closer you are to a cell tower, the stronger the signal. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.